Welcome to this week's show, where I'm reliably informed a number of station regulars are running about shouting about something coming home.
Well, judging by the news reports, it's either socialism, a dose of the latest strain of mods, or a lot of South Britonites with a hangover and a massive sense of disappointment.
Or maybe our missing radio crew.
Oh, that's okay. With him gone, I can get aboard in edgeways this week. Though I do want to hear about those feral donkeys from Amelia when she gets back.
In the meantime, here are the totally not made up and utterly approximately true headlines.
Absolutely.
Cow does a Beldaquiri flip-flop.
Hudson adds a other est to his list. Ages.
More gin and mugs reach far-flung locations.
Strange Island connected with presenters' disappearances.
But an expansion to a nice ice place and other BGS news.
Hutton narrowly avoided a galactic political incident this week after a number of rather disgruntled members of the brother and sisterhood of Terra Mater made the trip out to Hutton to lodge an official protest regarding an invasion by Hutton of their space. Their allegations caused quite a stir, as while Hutton's political bureau is known galaxy-wide for expanding to places by accident, mostly due to having the map the wrong way up, adding one instead of subtracting it, and indeed the map being of the London Underground instead of the nearby systems, the system in question did not appear to contain any Hutton influence, direct or otherwise. Upon investigation, it appeared that a number of Hutton pilots, led by former DJ Quizmaster and bovinophile Psycho Cow, had taken the side of the Brothers of Beldraki over in Beldraki and were attempting to squeeze into Onez, pronounced Onesie. The Terra Materis, purveyors of Ucheng Chili Enhanced Bubble Bath, were concerned that their system had fallen to the combined might of the Hutton's BGS team, based on an encounter with a rather feisty space cow, a shattery ninja dojo major domo with a pan, and some guy called Mr. Strange. It turns out that the Beldaquiri brothers, notorious local smugglers of rare and endangered avian life, had convinced Mr. Cow that, as he'd paid for the big sign on the entrance to Onesie, by some ancient Scottish lore, he was actually the local laird and had claim to it, including the plate of scones ensconced within. We sent out our best interviewer to the system to get the lowdown on who these two shysters are and what their plans for the system are. Over to you, Flossie.
The Beldaquiri brothers, Dirk and Daniel Beldaquiri, are well known throughout the system for their flamboyant and oft-times reckless behaviour. While they share a name with the system, that's only because they dropped the "of" from the middle of their names in an elaborate scam while attempting to claim Onesie a number of years ago. Dirk, the elder of the two, is a towering figure with a penchant for dramatic entrances and similarly dramatic exits, often in the form of a flounce, and more often than not sporting a cape and an oversized hand cannon. His love of the theatrical is matched only by his shattering incompetence in actual combat, resulting in accidental victories more often than strategic triumph. By way of contrast, Darnell is the brains of the operation, or at least he thinks so. With a love for all things explosive and a talent for smuggling all manner of things throughout the system, hidden in the most unlikely places, he is the chief architect of the brothers' numerous heists. Their activities appear to be wide-ranging, from simple con artistry, convincing space Scotsmen to attempt to claim ownership of the system, to unpredictable pirate raids on ships leaving the system with low-value cargo, Darnell's reasoning being that unwanted stuff is less well-guarded, to their latest smuggling venture related to rare cheeses banned in most systems for their potent aroma and explosive fermentation process. Oh, and the protection racket that demands fees from miners to protect them from asteroids.
Thank you, Flossie. These brothers appear to have taken over the system in the last week, but Commander Psycho Cow, having been informed about the explosive cheese and the fact that the pre-existing owners were neither Terrors nor Flat Earthians, issued a proclamation that he, the Queen of the Ninja Dojo, and Mr. Strange were now working to remove the brothers from their new offices. Which means that their anarchic reign lasted somewhere as long as a Conservative Prime Minister, and marginally less long than a lettuce.
The Federation has been rocked by yet another presidential scandal after, theoretically out of a job, former President Hudson, who still appears to be in the office despite losing the election in October last year, has claimed that he's only occupying the rhomboid office as President-elect Winters is clearly too old to hold the post and is, in his words, a doddering old biddy who has no place running a major galactic power. This is despite President Winters being a good 10 years younger than Hudson, who is himself approaching 109 years old. His actual age varies depending on who you ask and which fake birth certificate you're reading. The rumours that the cleft in his chin is as a result of decades of facelifts and his taut skin and the effects of years of performance enhancers and anti-aging drugs are simply unsubstantiated, and scurrilous rumours that we, of course, are happy to propagate. Well, until his lawyers get in touch. Winters, despite her numerical age being relatively high, benefits from the long life and energy of the very wealthy and claims to still be able to manage a few rounds of zero-G tennis every morning and can often be seen at the rebuilding projects on her home world digging foundations for refugee shelters by hand. Contrast that with Hudson, who, according to one of his mistresses, has to be helped into his office each morning as a result of repeatedly walking into the commode and attempting to address the table rail as, "My fellow Earthicans," before declaring the noise of the toilet flushing is fake news and is clearly neither doddering, senile, nor unhinged in any way at all. Nor that the beautifully coiffured hair is actually a small creature he bought from Galnet Rare's Digest. All that said, while Hutton is unaligned when it comes to political superpowers, we'd far rather Winters was in power, and according to Alvin, during a number of summits, she has given him the best belly rubs, and she smells nice, whereas Hudson is a cat person, which says it all really, especially as he doesn't like snowy Bengal kittens either, the only acceptable cat in the galaxy.
Welcome to week 100 of Too Hot, Too Messy, the continuing story of Hutton's mission to deliver mugs and gin to every space station and surface settlement in the entire Milky Way. In the last week, Commander's delivered 600 mugs and an unprecedented 867 gin to colonies everywhere. In the first 100 weeks, Commander's delivered a total of 136,964 mugs and 133,736 gin, with an estimated 302,613 ports available. That means we're very nearly at halfway. Stereo MD has sort of made it into 1,000 Club, with 1,024 mugs delivered, but only, I say only, 897 gin. So they get access to the executive lounge and special vending machine, but they're not allowed to have the key to the golden lobby yet. Leading squadrons are unchanged, with all of the usual suspects in the top five. They are Hutton Truckers, the Buckyball Racing Club, the Anti-Xeno Initiative, Winged Hussars and Elite Dangerous ANZ. Well done to everyone who has taken part. The trade routes are clear on the approach to Hutton and the Eden Ring Road is showing no congestion. Small pad availability is rated as Willkommen and the medium pad is rated as Bienvenue. There was only one Hutton run last week and that was from NEMB, who made an unassisted run in 1 hour, 37 minutes and 48 seconds. If you're coming out to Hutton, could you get me a couple of things at the shops? I need a packet of Jaffa Cakes, the big long one you get at Christmas, shaken back and a sink plunger. I'll square you up when you get here.
It may have come to the attention of our usual listener that we're a little short on presenters this week. While Van Tuyen and his alter ego Rudolf Hooker are holidaying on a beach resort somewhere on the planet of New Africa in the Epsilon Indy system, Amelia is currently in location unknown. After he tipped her off about the mysterious uninhabited island just off the coast of the resort, Amelia and her assistant Steve commandeered an ancient Moray starboat. The last we heard from Amelia was that the locals had reported seeing either a clone or a doppelganger of her wife Sandrine, that the mysterious floating island contained a colony of feral donkeys, that some mysterious brain coral had washed up ashore, and that the water tasted a bit funny. We're attempting to re-establish communications with the starboat, but as it appears to run comms units from a few hundred years ago, and was probably put back together by someone who had about as much starship or submarine engineering knowledge as we all have broadcast skills, there are concerns that she might be marooned somewhere. Any pilots in the vicinity of New Africa, could they please get in touch with Commander Van Tuyen to see if he can attempt a rescue effort from his present location?
Welcome to the Hutton BGS bit, where we do a quick run-through of the 49 systems where Hutton has a presence and take a wild guess at what you can do to make things better or worse. Well, to start, we have expanded into LHS 1507, which is currently occupied by Cirra Incorporated. See, the thing is, they're only in 10% and we're on 8%, so do they really have a better claim than us? I dunno, let's see what happens. It's an ice wee system with six ringed gas giants and a ringed ice world, so handy for mining or bounty hunting. It has two outposts, so if you want to land there for restocking and things, you can't really take anything bigger than a python. There are fleet carriers too, but you can't count on those. We may soon move into another system, since PSPF LF2 is in 74%, with expansion pending. I'd stay out of there if I were you. Other high-flying systems are Stein 2051, WISE 0855-0714, LP 245-10, Van Manen Star, LP 532-81, 36 Ophiuchi, The Hag Hole, and Wolf 1481. Jaws Pantazis is just under the threshold, so I'd leave that one alone as well. Now that we've been through the systems that we don't want you to do anything in, let's look at the systems where you can do stuff. Wolf 562 is experiencing Wolf 562 is experiencing a period of investment, as is Barnard Star. The investment there has been going for a long time. Investment is like a supercharged boom, so you can make significant gains through trading and mission running. Speaking of booms, they are present in Kokari, Epsilon Indy, and Wolf 359, where it's paired up with infrastructure failure. We have a huge election in the Renses, where we're all pitted against the Green Party of Samini. There are some accidental wars in EDF systems, just let them sort themselves out, we don't want to contest them. And I think that's about it, and you'll be thinking, well, that's all very well and good, but what does it all mean? Well, I'll tell you. If you want to truck it, then I'd recommend trucking machinery into Wolf 359, or trading to one of those investment systems. Conditions are also good for mission running in the investment or boom systems. Same goes for Narenses, election means non-violent actions do very well. If you want to shoot it, then you'd probably listen to Vulcarius, who will give us an update on which is Titan is the subject of his ire this week. Then go there, find a collection of soft, dangly objects on its underside somewhere, roll down the window and give it a ruddy good punch in them. And that's it for this week's BGS update.